Hi, this is Eric Elder, broadcasting live from the ranch. You know, many people are looking for a savior. They're very glad to have a savior. In fact, I can't imagine anyone who would walk into a courtroom with a penalty that's coming against them for something that they know that they did wrong. And then someone else steps up into the courtroom and says, okay, I'll pay the price for that so that you don't have to. You can go ahead and go free, go on home. Many people would love a savior like that, that would come and take them out of situations. But let me say that not many people would like a Lord, because a Lord, by definition, is a supreme authority, or one who controls you. And people want to be bailed out of their problems, but they may not want the control of someone else. But someone is controlling all of our lives. Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it's your boss, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's a friend or a parent, maybe it's yourself. Someone is controlling your life. My desire tonight is that you would allow God to take control over your whole life, every area of your life, and let Him be Lord of your life. There's a phrase in the Bible, and it's more than just a phrase, it's the way that we are saved. It's in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. What that says is that we should confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now, that's just not a statement that says, I believe in Jesus, I believe that Jesus existed. It's a statement that implies surrender. I believe that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is Lord of my life. Jesus is in charge of my life. I turn over control of my life to Him. And so tonight I want to focus on three areas of our lives where we need to make sure we're giving control to the Lord. And we struggle with these, I struggle with these, and I would say you could pick one of the three, choice A, B, C, or I would say there's a D choice too, all of the above, because it's not just one person's life, but they're areas of all of our lives. And God wants to be Lord of every area of our life. So we're going to focus on those things that are keeping us from letting Him be Lord of our life. Let me say a quote from John Wimber. He was a man who loved the Lord very much, and he had this famous saying that he would say. He said, I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? Meaning that we're all going to be a fool for someone. We're all going to be controlled for someone. We're all going to give our lives over to someone. Who are you giving your life over to? And so tonight, again, I just want to say, God wants us to give control over to Him. And the great news about that is that He is the best one to give it over to. And I'm going to tell you a few stories from my own life that I hope will encourage you that it's worth it to give your life over to the Lord. Why don't you take just a minute just to pray, and you can look at your message notes on the screen. You might want to look at the scripture there and just ask God to open your heart to whatever He wants to say to you tonight about being your Lord. As I was preparing this message, I just felt like God was saying that we need to tell Him regularly and frequently, be my Lord. We need to just come to God and say, be my Lord. And the three areas of our lives where He wants us to be Lord are, that I'm going to hit on tonight at least, are, there's many areas, but three areas are, there are things that we are doing that we should not be doing. There are sins in our life. that God does not want us to do, and He's not being Lord of our life in those areas. Secondly, there are things we should be doing, but we're not doing them. This isn't sin necessarily, but things that God is calling us to do, but we're not stepping out and doing it. And maybe it's because we don't know exactly what it is. Maybe we're not clear on what the instructions are, but maybe we do know what it is. When I hit the second point, I just want to encourage you to seek the Lord and find out what things are there that you should be doing that you might not even be aware of. And third is, when you need encouragement that what you're doing really is from the Lord, then you need to say, Lord, continue to be the Lord of my life. Continue to encourage me as I walk through this, because sometimes it gets tough as we do what God calls us to do. And we start doubting and we start questioning, is this really what God wants me to do? Because things aren't working out exactly the way I thought they would. Well, when we get to that point, we have to continue to say, Lord, you are Lord of my life, and it's worth it, and I'm going to follow you no matter what the cost. And then the fourth option is all of the above. And maybe you're struggling in all of these areas, and you just want to turn over everything to Christ today. Then I want to encourage you to stay with me through the broadcast as we look at these three areas of being Lord of our life. The first one involves sin in our life. Sin is anything we do that is opposed to God. And usually we're not that unaware of what sin is. We have an unconscious or subconscious, God has put it in our hearts, what sin is in our life. And He very much wants to quicken that in us and get us rid of that sin, because that sin is really just killing us. But many people hold on to sin because they get comfort from it, or they get some pleasure from it, and they get some security from it. But it's really a false pleasure and a false comfort and a false security, because it only lasts a while and then it's gone. And Jesus wants to replace that with a true security, a true comfort, and a true pleasure. And He will bring that when we get rid of that sin in our lives and we can come to Him freely. So this first area involves sin in our life. And the area where I want to talk about in my life that God really spoke to me 12 years ago about was my sexual life. And I was living in a way in my sexual life that was not pleasing to God. And God very much quickened me of it, and He showed me, and He said, Eric, if you continue on this path, the way that you are going will lead to death. But I want you to be on a path that leads to life, the other direction. And when I saw that, and I saw that what I was doing was actually killing me, and it was going to destroy me if I continued in that path, Jesus picked me up and set me on a path to life. And now I'm married and have four kids, and am thrilled with life and thrilled with the way God has worked out the sexual aspect of my life, when I was willing to just turn it over to Him and say, okay, God, be Lord of this area of my life. Take over this part of my life as well. And God can do that for you, whatever that area of sin is, whether it's sexual or alcohol or drugs or you name it, whatever the thing is that's going on in your life that you know you need to get rid of. You know the Bible calls you to it. You know God calls you to it. And you know that it's killing you. God has the power to remove that out of your life. But we need to give it over to Him. We need to give that control over to Him. Look with me on the screen, or if you have a Bible and you'd like to look there, at what Paul says to the people of Colossians about getting rid of the sin in their lives. This is Colossians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 17. And as I read this, just let God quicken anything in your heart that you might want to get rid of as well. And just say, wow, I just don't want that anymore. Just take it away from me, God. And listen to some of these things that Paul says are rules for holy living. Chapter 3 of Colossians. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Did you catch that last verse? Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. When you are considering doing something, and you wonder, is this really what God wants me to do? You can ask this question in verse 17. Can I do this in the name of the Lord Jesus? Can I do this and say, in Jesus' name, I am going to go forward and do this? This is what Jesus wants me to do. This is what Jesus would do. You've seen the bracelets, WWJD, that say, what would Jesus do? You need to know, would Jesus do this and would Jesus want me to do this? And if you can do it in the name of Jesus, then it may be good for you. But continue to look out in the Word of God and ask that question before you enter into something. And then do as Paul says at the beginning, put off and put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to that earthly nature, whatever is sinful in your life, and put on what Christ has given you, the new life. Rid yourself of that old life and put on the new life. Christ would not call us to do this if it wasn't possible. I know some of you say, it is so hard, and I understand why it's hard, but you must do it. God wants us to do it. And this week specifically, if you're watching this, I very much believe that God has drawn you here so that you can say to him, God, I want you to be my Lord. Be my Lord. I'm going to declare that Jesus is Lord, and I want that to be worked out in my life. God can do it. He can change you. He's in the life-changing business, so just trust him for it. The second area of our lives is the area that we may know or not know things that we ought to do. God wants us to be Lord of our life over the things that I should do. One of the stories that came to me about this was about 10 years ago, where I was praying for a particular woman, and I was praying that God would help her in her job situation. She wasn't pleased with her job situation, and I said, God, I pray that you would just reveal what to do about this situation for her. And then I started to become quickened that what she really needed was a husband. And so I started praying, God, I pray you'd send her a husband. And immediately these words came into my head, why don't you marry her? Now, that wasn't on my mind at all. That's not what I was praying for. But I had to really consider those words, and over 2 weeks, period of time after that, those words kept coming to me over and over. Why don't you marry her? Why don't you marry her? And so that impacted my life greatly, because I then spent another 3 months just praying about that question, and at the end of the 3 months, God had so put a love in my heart for this woman that I said, if you don't let me marry her, I'm going to be so mad at you, God. And so we did get married, and my wife is here with me, and we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary. Now, there are some other people I could have married in my life, and now at 10 years looking back and seeing where their lives are and where my life is, I just say, thank you, Lord. And I'm just glad that God was so gracious to pick out a wife for me, and that he was able to put a thought in my head that wasn't there in the first place, and be able to show me exactly what his will was for my life. And so I needed to step out and do the thing that God called me to do. And maybe you're in that position in your life where God is calling you to do something, but you're not sure if that's really what he wants you to do, and you're not sure if that's what you want to do. Well, this happened to Moses as well. And if you want to look on your screen at Exodus chapter 3, Verse 11, when God showed up and spoke to Moses in the burning bush, Moses had some very, very big hesitation. And he started questioning God. It's not that he didn't want to do what God called him to do, but it's that he wasn't sure he was the right man. He wasn't sure that this was the task that he was called to do because of some past experience. And look in verse 11. Here's a few of Moses' replies, just to show you the hesitation that this great man of God had. In verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And then again, in chapter 4, verse 10, the Lord answers all those questions and tells him what he's going to do. And then he says, Moses said to the Lord, back in verse 1, what if they did not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? And then the Lord told him what to do about that. And then Moses says later, Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. And the Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses still said, O Lord, please send someone else to do it. You may be in this situation where you just keep saying, God, I can't believe that it's me. I can't believe that you're calling on me. I can't do this. I'm not gifted in this. This isn't what you've called me to do. Certainly you must have someone else in mind. But no, God didn't make that mistake with Moses. God very much called him. And when Moses was submissive to God and said, okay, I give, I surrender to you, you are my Lord and I will follow you, it changed the rest of Moses' life. It changed the life of over 500,000 Jews who followed him out of the slavery that they were in. And it changed the whole course of history from that point forward. It's the same with me. When I was hesitating, when God spoke to me about marrying Lana, and I was saying, really, God, am I the one? Is this really what you want me to do? And from then on, it changed the course of my life when I submitted and surrendered to God and said, okay, let me pursue this. I want to find out what your will is. And God gave me such a joy and a peace about it, and it changed my life. It changed everything about my life and her life and our future generation of children's lives as well. So God will bring these changes about in your life when you stick your hand up in the air and tune it in like a radio antenna and just say, God, I want to tune into your frequency. I want to know what your will is, and whatever that radio station is where I can hear that voice of yours, I just pray that you would help me and tune me in so that I can hear you, so that I can do the things you called me to do. So those are the first two things. One is get rid of the sin in your life. Two is to put up your spiritual antennas and say, God, help me understand what I need to be doing so that I can serve you better. And third is, when you're doing what God called you to do, but you're getting discouraged about it, you can continue to say, Lord, I just surrender my life to you again and again. I am going to follow you, whatever the cost. And let me encourage you with that, that those doubts or those discouragements are not new. They're not new to you, and they're not new to the history of man. In fact, one of the greatest men that ever lived, John the Baptist, had doubts about the lordship of Jesus. He had doubts about whether Jesus was the one that he thought he was. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Here's John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the one, you'll remember, who baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. He was the one who stood there when the Spirit of the Lord came on Jesus like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. John the Baptist witnessed all these things. And yet, as John the Baptist was preaching repentance, he was preaching repentance to Herod at that point. And Herod threw him in jail because Herod was sleeping with someone that he should not be with. And John the Baptist was convicting him of that and saying, you shouldn't do that. And eventually, John got thrown in prison, and eventually he died because of that. But while he was in prison, I believe he started to question all that was going on as far as who Jesus was. And in verse 2 of chapter 11, Matthew, it says, when John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you see, hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, The dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. This was John's task in life. He was prophesied in Scripture that he was going to prepare the way for the Lord. He had a very clear calling of what he was to do. And Jesus was reminding the crowd of this. He said, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear. John the Baptist had these questions about Jesus, even after all he had seen, even that Jesus called him one of the greatest that was ever born to any woman. And yet John, soon thereafter, lost his head. He was beheaded in prison, and his head was served to someone on a platter. And the cost of following Jesus is very great. There's a cost to what we do as a Christian. There's a cost to making Jesus the Lord of your life. To make him your Savior doesn't cost you much, because you just say, Lord, I want to believe in you, I want to follow you. But to really make him your Savior and your Lord, there's going to be a cost. And we need to follow him, and we need to say that Jesus is Lord, because without that, we won't be saved. As that verse in Romans said, whoever confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead will be saved. So we need to confess that Jesus is our Lord. We need to make that choice where God can do the things he wants to do. In my own life, God called me into the ministry 4 years ago, and I quit my job working with a business and went into the ministry full-time at the call of the Lord. And I can say God has been faithful over the last 4 years, but I can't say that it's been easy. I can't say that it's been comfortable. I can't say that it's been a smooth road. But you know what? Jesus never called us to an easy, comfortable, smooth life. He called us to follow him, whatever the cost. He called us to take up our cross daily and follow him. And I can tell you, even with all the bumps and the jarring along the way, it's better than any other life I could ever have lived, because I'm doing what God called me to do. And when you're walking in the calling that God has given you, there is a joy that surpasses any other thing, and the cost is nothing at that point. The cost does not bother you when you're walking with what the Lord wants you to do. And so if you have anxiousness or doubts, or if the path you're on as you follow the Lord is not easy, I just want to encourage you that that's no surprise to God. And Jesus did not have an easy life here on the earth. So when we follow Jesus, we may encounter some troubles along the way, but it's going to be worth the cost. The rewards are great. Just like Jesus said, look at what you see happening around you. The dead are raised, the sick are healed. The things that God came to do are being accomplished. And that's what God wants to do in your life as well. There's a choice. And as I conclude here, I just want to talk about the choice that we have to make. We have to choose whether we're going to follow the Lord or not. We have to choose who we're going to serve and who we're going to give control of our life to. You know the passage, perhaps, in Joshua. It's a famous passage where Joshua was calling the people to make a choice. In Joshua 24, verse 14 through 55. Now fear the Lord, this is what Joshua said to the people, and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, make a choice. You're going to choose one way or the other, but you need to make a choice. And Joshua said, this is my choice, and this is the choice I recommend for you, but you need to make your own choice. Let me give you two more quotes as I close, just from some other Christian writers. One is about this complete surrender to God, the abandonment to God that comes from giving over our life to Him in every area of our lives. And this is just such a great joy. This is a woman named Madame Guyon. She wrote this over 500 years ago. And she said, abandonment is practiced by continually losing your will in the will of God, by plunging your will into the depths of His will, there to be lost forever. Abandonment is plunging your will into the depths of His will, there to be lost forever. I just thought when I heard that was just such a great thing. I said, wow, that is so good. That just sounds so nice, just to give over that control completely to someone that you can trust and just say, God, you take the reins. And I was telling that to a friend who also heard it, and I said, what did you think about that? Wasn't that awesome? And he said, that scared me to death. You see, he was holding on to some things in his life that he just didn't want to give up. And it scared him to think of just turning over control of his whole life to someone else. And yet, when we turn it over to God, it's not like turning it over to any other person, because God is without sin. God knows what we need. He knows what's best for us. And it's so worth it. It's worth it to abandon our lives to God. One other quote from Henry Blackaby in a book called Experiencing God. And he talks about this concept of Jesus being Lord. And he says, two words in the Christian's language cannot go together. No Lord. No one can say the words, no Lord. Why not? If you say no, He is not Lord. If He really is your Lord, your answer must always be yes. In decision-making, always begin here. Do not proceed until you can honestly say, whatever you want of me, Lord, I will do it. God wants our answer to be yes, Lord. Yes, Lord means a full surrender to the Lordship and the control of Christ. We need to be able to say daily and continually, Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Lord. Be the Lord over my sins. Be the Lord over the things I should do. Be the Lord over the times when I doubt you. Be my Lord in every area of my life. And if you've never given your whole life to Christ, you can do it now just by saying, dear Jesus, I am sorry for my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and paying the price for me. Now I want to give my life for you. And when you do that, and when you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the Bible says that you will be saved. And you can do it that easy right now. You don't have to wait any longer. And if you've already made that decision, but you just have some parts of your life that you need to turn over to God, you can do that right now as well. I'm going to sing one closing song and then say a short prayer for you and just ask that God would bless you and that He would help you to do the things you want to do. If you know the words to the song, He is Lord, you can sing them with me, and then we'll also sing You're My Lord after that, just to say, Jesus, You're My Lord. It just goes simply, He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. And then follow along.